John chapter 21, we're going to read the first 11 verses together, and we'll read this passage responsively, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He saith unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye now have caught. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all us there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Yeah, there we go. Got my tongue tangled up. Sorry about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you've done. Now, Holy Spirit, would you anoint this moment? Would you help our church? Lord, as churches are failing all around, as churches are changing all around, would you take Grace Baptist Church, and may our candlestick in heaven be brighter today than it was 2 years ago. May we keep it burning brightly and trimmed, and may we be after what you want us after for appropriately, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. If you'll listen to me for the next 35 minutes, I think I can help you tonight. Our country is full of churches. I did some research recently. There are over 450,000 churches of every denomination in the United States of America. 450,000 churches. If you added all 160,000 plus fast food restaurants, if you added 147,000 convenience store and gas stations, and added another 47,000 hotels, you're still 100,000 churches, or 100,000 more churches than there are all of those put together. I'm here to shout, 98% of all those churches won't have one person to walk an aisle for salvation this year. That is not success. Estimated over $82.5 billion, with a B, dollars taken in offerings in those churches. But less than 2% will have anybody saved this year. America's churches are failing. The problem isn't what's in the White House, it's what's in the church house. And I'm here to shout, most of it comes from behind the pulpit. If the men of God would stand up and start doing what God said do, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Got a bunch of lily-livered, sissy-britches preachers that are afraid to preach the truth. Well, I hate to tell you, you ain't got one of those here. I might not always use good grammar, though I know what good grammar is. I choose not to use it on purpose. Say why? Because y'all wouldn't know what it was anyway. Folks, Jesus Christ himself established the church. He started the church. By the way, Mr. Schofield's wrong. It didn't start in Acts chapter 2. You don't add 3,000 souls saved and baptized in one day to something that did not already exist. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You find in Matthew chapter 18, the church had already been started, and it was started by Jesus. Everybody doing okay? Hang on, you're going to kill somebody in a little while here. Jesus established the church as the vehicle for the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Not amen, amen. Folks, the church is supposed to be the headquarters for people to get saved and, listen to this, for people to bring their converts to learn more about God, get closer to God so they can go out and get more people saved and bring them to the church so they can learn how to get people saved and get closer to God and go get more people and keep bringing them in. That is the purpose of the church. It's not a social club. It's not for you to just have activity at. Everybody doing all right? I was listening to some jaybird on the radio this week. I probably shouldn't listen to radio very often because I get in trouble every time I do. I get mad, have to pull my car over and start yelling at some sissy britches preacher. I was listening to this. Yeah, jaybird, thank you. Should a church have organized visitation? Can I tell you something? I don't have to preach organized church visitation. God called it soul winning. It's not a matter of whether you should or shouldn't. God commanded it. You don't have to ask him if he's taking an offering. You don't have to ask him if he believes in tithing. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. You know that of those 450,000 churches, 99% of them will criticize Grace Baptist Church. Can I tell you why? We believe in soul winning. Amen. 2 years, this church has seen well over 1,200 people saved. Amen. Amen. I'm going to make a statement here. I made it the other night. I'll make it again. Well, how many of them were sincere? As many as your zero. Who are you to judge somebody's sincerity? That hand right there has knocked on well over 1 million doors. Can I tell you something? Of the tens of thousands of people that I have won to Christ, watch this. I've knocked on doors of total strangers, opened up my Bible, showed them what the scripture said, asked them if they believed that they were a sinner. They said yes. Asked them if they believed what the Bible said, that according to the Bible, if they died as a sinner, that they deserve hell. And they said yes. I also told them the story of Jesus Christ and told them what Jesus did for them and said, do you believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for you? And they said, yes. Guess what? At that moment, they bowed their head and trusted Christ. Who are you to judge their sincerity? That's work salvation. Well, you believe in confrontational soul winning. Yes, I do. That's the only thing Jesus taught. Say, oh, you're one of those easy believism. Folks, God didn't make the Bible hard to understand. Why would he make it hard for people to get saved? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, for those of you that don't understand, that word repentance doesn't mean you turn from all your sins and go the other way and make Jesus Lord of your life. That's works salvation. Amen, Brother Hawkins? What is repentance? Repentance is this. You go through life depending on what you're doing to get your sorry carcass to heaven. Your good works, your church membership, your baptism, your mommy and daddy, whatever you're trusting to get you to heaven. The moment you realize those works do not get you to heaven, you realize your need for a Savior and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is repentance. It has nothing to do with you turning from your sins. You are turning from your own righteousness to the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. That is exactly what salvation is. The act of salvation is the act of repentance. You can't turn away from all your sin. Because you sinned after you got saved. Guess what? You guess you didn't turn far enough, did you? So that's work salvation. You get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the act of repentance. Every once in a while, we're out knocking on doors and somebody will call the church all upset that we knocked on their door with the gospel. You say, does that bother you? Nope. Now, if one of our people is rude, I'm going to skin you alive. You don't have to be rude to anybody. If they don't want to hear it, don't talk to them. By the way, that's Bible too. Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and go talk to somebody who wants to hear. That's Bible. You don't have to be rude. You can be kind. Say, it's okay. I'm not here to force anybody. I'll just go next door. Say, well, they put signs up, no soliciting. Guess what? Going door to door for your church is not soliciting. I don't care what anybody says. And by the way, I've talked to more police departments than you want to know. My wife and I were walking in our neighborhood. There was college people trying to get donations for their college fund. The guy said, are you part of a church? They said, nope. He said, well, if you're a church going door to door, giving literature out or telling about the church, you can do that. But if you're asking for money, you can't do that. He didn't know I was a Baptist preacher. As I was walking by hearing him say that, it just blessed my gizzard. Made my liver quiver, amen? Folks, 450,000 churches in America, and 99% of them probably didn't have one person saved today. You're in the top 1%. This church has had over 1,200 people saved in the last 104 weeks. That's 1.6 saved every day. We lead a lot of pregnant people to the Lord, amen? That's that 0.6 thing, amen? Here in John chapter 21, we have the story. Jesus has been crucified. He's died. And he's resurrected. But the disciples quit the ministry. Peter said, I go fishing. They weren't just taking a day off to go fishing. Amen, Brother Mike? They left the ministry to go fishing. They rented or were purchasing a large boat. You say, how do you know it's a large boat? Because it had a small boat attached to it. It wasn't just some little rowboat that half a dozen fellers were out there casually fishing, dropping a line. They were back in the fishing industry. They left the ministry. Now listen to this. They went back to start making money. They started back up the old business. They fished all night and caught nothing. Boy, is that enough to make a Baptist preacher want to get upset. Not only did they not make money, they lost money. Now listen to this statement. They're about 100 yards off the shore. Jesus sees them and says, hey, fellas, what'd you catch? They said, nothing. Now, I don't know what Peter said, but I know what he said when Jesus was near when he denied him. I'd hate to hear what he said after fishing all night and not catching anything. Huh. He said, hey, would you like to catch some fish? That's a dumb question. He said, if you'll drop your net on the right side of the ship, you're going to catch something. Well, they had fished all night. What's dropping it one more time going to do? They got nothing to lose. The Bible says that they dropped that net and there was so many fish in that net, they thought the net was going to break. And the Apostle John looked up and said, it's the Lord. This happened once before, Peter, you remember? Peter said, yep, I'm headed to shore, fellas. You bring them in, I'm going to go talk to Jesus. The Bible says he threw his fisher's coat on him, jumped in, swam that 100 yards to get close to Jesus. Bible says that the haul was so big that they could barely get the net in. There were 153 large fish, says great fish, in that net. Hey, 450,000 churches in America. There are 308 million people to draw from. Why nobody saved? Why have you been fishing and coming up with empty nets? Why do you open up your doors and have empty nets? How many fish for Christ have you caught? Not how much were your offerings, how many fish did you catch? How many souls did you win? Hey, pastor, how many souls did you see saved? I'm probably not the best soul winner in this church, but this pastor wins people to Christ. This pastor's not afraid to give the gospel to anybody, anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Matter of fact, I start with the Bible out and people start scattering because they know it's coming. Can I tell you something? If every church won 685 people, our country would have 100% salvation rate. If every church in America would win as many people to Christ as Grace Baptist Church did this last 12 months, America could be saved in 1 year. Why have you been fishing if you're not going to catch anything? Let me ask you a question. How well would Grace Baptist Church be doing if its spiritual level was based on you personally? Would our church even be a church? Would anybody get saved? I have many faults. I am just as much a sinner as every other human being sitting in this room right now. You're not talking about somebody lifting themselves up, but what would Grace Baptist Church be like if it were all based on what you do for God? Why have churches stopped winning souls? Why have churches closed their baptistries? Brother Ed and I were talking this week. He's been in more churches than I've been in, I'm sure. It's amazing how many churches, Baptist churches, use their baptistry for storage. You bring a convert to church, you got to have the deacon board approve getting them baptized. You say, why? Because they probably got to decide whether they're going to fill the tank so that they could get baptized. That's wicked as hell. Just so you know, it's filled, ready to go, every service, warm. You say, why? Because if we get them saved, we're going to dunk them like Jesus said. Why are churches letting people die and go to hell? Tonight, I'm going to preach a style of sermon I don't normally preach, but I think it's very applicable. I'm going to compare this story to, and by the way, not a type. It's a comparison. I don't believe in preaching types. Not every time you see these things in the Bible is it going to mean this. But I want to apply these things as a comparison to why churches fail today. Number one, the problem with the fishing wasn't the boat. Did you know the disciples didn't come up dry, didn't come up empty? Because the boat failed? Did you know that boat got them out on the water? That boat got them everywhere they needed to be? So the problem with them catching fish wasn't the boat. Well, it served them well. It did what it was supposed to do. It was not the fault of the boat that no fish were caught. I'd like to compare that boat to the church. The problem with people getting saved isn't the actual church or the church building. I don't care if it's a storefront. I don't care if it's a converted bar. I don't care if it's an ugly old warehouse. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's a magnificent structure that has stained glass. That's not ours. That boat is simply a vehicle. That church is simply a vehicle to get the gospel out. So the problem isn't the structure. The problem isn't the fact that there is a church there. The problem is not the boat. Trouble is, we haven't become fishers of men, fishers of money, fishers of popularity. My daughter was out soul winning. I don't know if it was yesterday. She knocked on some preacher's door. I always find it funny when our soul winners on Saturday, when it's time to go soul winning, knock on pastors' doors and the pastors are home. Shame on them. But she did. He said, "Oh, I've heard about your church." As my daughter can only say, "Dad, it was duck or pucker, wasn't sure which." And she said, "Oh, that's nice." He said, "I've been meaning to call your pastor. It's not a church of like faith." She said, "Okay." He said, "Do you think he would talk to me?" She said, "Well, it's my dad. You could go ahead and talk to him." I said, "Yeah, I know which church it is. They want me to join the ministerial assassination. Sorry, ministerial association." Say, "What are you going to tell them?" No. Why in the world would I sit down with people that don't believe in getting people saved? I'll take that time, go out and knock on doors, win people to Christ, and get them out of hell. They can have all the luncheons they want. They can have all their community meetings they want. We're going out and getting people saved. The problem isn't the boat. You know, there's nothing wrong with God's plan for the church. It still works. We're not supposed to add worldly music to the church. Get sick and tired of these modernist churches that want to add their rock music and their country western music to the church. Well, we'll attract more people. God's plan for the boat didn't change. Everybody doing all right? Hang in there. We're not supposed to water down our standards to attract more people. We're supposed to preach righteousness, holiness. You don't water things down in an effort to hope to draw these people in. I know churches all over this country that used to run thousands that tonight we've got more than they have. Can I tell you why? They went the way of bring the rock music in. Bring the praise and worship in. Change the Bible. Let's not have the teenagers come to church. We'll let them have their own church service. They can have their own kind of music. They can play their rock music. Guess what? You breed a generation that doesn't even know what the boat is. What's your program for teenagers? Soul winning and preaching. Yes, we'll have parties and activities, but guess what? The main thrust, they're going to learn how to listen to preaching and go out and see people get saved. That will change their life. A hot dog at a bonfire ain't going to change their life. Soul winning will change their life. Say, "You're old-fashioned, thank you." We're not to use the church as a college classroom and exegete the scriptures. I call it execute the scriptures. The average... Listen to this statement. The average pastor who is exegetically destroying the scripture, they don't go soul winning. Oh, they have a visitation program. And it has to be organized or you shouldn't go. And if you don't want to go, that's okay, but you ought to at least want to go sometime. Puke. Jesus didn't look at his disciples and say, "Fellas, I sure would like for you to try this. I think it'll help you." He said, "Get up off your lazy backside and go do it." A church, by the way, we're not supposed to take surveys instead of going soul winning. Not supposed to live a certain lifestyle and people will just flock to you to come get saved. They don't do that with their offerings. The preacher doesn't put the offering plate on the pulpit and pull his wallet out and start dumping money, and then everybody just follows likewise. They believe in lifestyle evangelism, but not lifestyle tithing. $82.5 billion brought in, but hey, baby, how much of their money was used to win people to Christ? A church not seeing people saved and baptized has not followed God's boat building plan. Did you catch that? We have pretty buildings, but no fishing boats. Noah's Ark may not have been pretty, and I'm sure it was pretty loud. I'm sure there were times it didn't even smell real good. I'll bet you there was times it needed Mrs. Hess and her bottles of bleach. But guess what? It served its purpose and spared mankind. 8 souls were saved. It was a boat. So the boat wasn't the problem. Number one. Number two, the net was not the problem. Do you know them throwing that net out, the problem wasn't the net? Say, how do you know that? Because later, when they did what Jesus said, they caught 153 fish. Matter of fact, it was overloaded and it still handled the load. I want to compare that net to the gospel. Can I tell you something? Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 still works, seeing people saved. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being preached, proclaimed, there is a heaven, there is a hell. When you die, you're going to one or the other. It still works. Folks, the gospel has not changed. Well, what about the Old Testament? It's law. No, it's not. For by grace are you saved through faith. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Adam. By faith, Cain. Or by faith, Abel. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. Guess what? That's Old Testament. Brother Stoltz, you stand there for a moment. We're going to let the pulpit represent Calvary. He is in the New Testament, looking back at Calvary. I'm in the Old Testament looking ahead to Calvary. Guess what? People in the Old Testament got saved by faith looking forward to Jesus getting saved. People in the New Testament get saved by faith looking back at what Jesus did do for them. But it still took faith. By faith, you are saved. It wasn't law. That's Calvinism. That's wrong. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. The gospel still works. People are still getting saved. Levi, last week when we knocked on that lady's door, I can't remember her name all of a sudden. I could look it up in my Bible, but I'm preaching. Not going to take time. I knocked on that lady's door. She came to the door. We talked to her. And in about 10 minutes, she bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Guess what? The gospel still works. Still works. Every person that got saved yesterday, they got saved yesterday. Do you know when you were born, you didn't get unborn when you did something wrong? You know, when you were a child, now mama and daddy may have whooped your backside. They may have warped your psyche. Now dad didn't call it a psyche, but he warped it many a time. He may have warped it, but can I tell you something? I'm still his son. When you get saved, no matter what you do, you're still going to heaven. That net was made to catch fish, any size, any shape, any color, and any type. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to target our soul winning to any one certain group of people. We're supposed to share it everywhere we go. Do you know when you drop a net in the water to catch fish, you're not guaranteed what kind of fish you're going to get? Now, you can drop certain lures in and it'll attract a certain kind of fish. But when you're dropping the net, you're going after anything that you can get your net on, amen? Guess what? When you go soul winning, quit trying to size people up and say, well, I don't think that person will listen to me, so I won't give them the gospel. Quit playing God and give them the gospel. I've led a lot of people to the Lord I didn't think I was going to win. I've met a lot of people who were real nice, and I thought, man, this one's going to let me win them to the Lord. And they slammed the door in my face. We had a good conversation until I asked them if they were sure they're going to heaven. We're not talking about that. First 2 minutes, I thought, man, I got a chance. It wasn't after that. Can I tell you something? Everybody, Grace Baptist Church, listen to this statement. You cannot win the wrong person to Christ. You cannot win the wrong person to Christ. You can't win the wrong color person to Christ. You can't win the wrong ethnicity of person to Christ. You can't win the wrong social standing person to Christ. Poor people need saved. Rich people need to get saved. Middle class people need to get saved. Old people need to get saved. Young people need to get saved. Children need to get saved. Teenagers need to get saved. Red and yellow, black and white, we all need to get out there and give the gospel to anybody that'll listen to it. We're more concerned about, well, how many tithing people do you have? I don't give a rip. Let's just go out and reach every one of them we can reach. God will take care of the finances. We've become anglers in our fishing. And we only go after one kind of fish. God said, drop the net, not the line. Everybody doing okay? He said, drop the net, catch them all. By the way, nets don't take a whole lot of skill. Well, I'm just not smart enough to go out there and do all that. Some of you smart people ought to be teaching everybody. I got some simple folks that are better soul winners than some quote-unquote smart people. Number three, I got to hurry. So number one, the boat wasn't the problem. Number two, the net wasn't the problem. Number three, the fishing hole wasn't the problem. Did you know there were fish in there? Those fish didn't just magically appear. They were there the whole time. There were plenty of fish in the sea. There are 308 million people in America, legally. 99% of other churches are doing nothing except collecting money. Folks, there are lost people everywhere you go. I don't care if you go to the store. I don't care if you go to the gas station. I don't care if you go to the restaurant. I don't care if you go on an airplane. I don't care if you go by Metro or Amtrak or wherever you go, where you go to work, where you go to shop, where you go to play. Everywhere you go, there are lost people. I didn't do it. I thought about it. I thought about finding out how many people sat in either pro football stadiums, college football stadiums, and pro baseball stadiums this weekend and compared it to how many people went to church. And we wonder why our churches are failing. There are lost people everywhere you go. Guess what? We have an endless supply of lost people in Martinsburg. You're not going to run out of people to talk to. So the problem wasn't the boat. The problem wasn't the net. The problem wasn't the fishing hole. I guess the problem was the people in the boat. I guess the problem then were the disciples in the boat. The boat got them out there. The fishing hole still had fish in it. And the net was able to handle the fish that were there. So the problem was the people in the boat. Well, if the boat is the church, guess who's in the boat now? You and me. Well, I remember we've had church services and somebody didn't get saved, Brother Bush. I don't think there's been a week this church has been in existence somebody didn't get saved. They may not have walked this aisle, but they got saved. Everybody doing all right? If you complain about somebody not walking an aisle for salvation, what did you do about it? They had a working boat. They had a working net. They had an endless supply of fish. Hey, we must be the problem. You might be as backslidden as the Apostle Peter. But guess what? You can still go fishing and catch fish. You might be as critical as Nathaniel. But guess what? You can get right and start fishing again. You might be as doubtful and lazy as Thomas, but guess what? You can catch fish again. You might be seeking the credit for catching the biggest one, like James and John. But guess what? You can start fishing again. Good night. Brother Mike and I took my daughter and Dawn. Where's she at? Back there. Back there. We all went out fishing, and Brother Barnes, contest winners from fall or spring program and a couple others. Man, when them fish started hitting, we didn't care who caught the biggest one. It was just get them all in the boat, amen? Say, who caught the most? Dawn. I have no idea. She probably did. Say, well, you weren't counting? It wasn't a contest. We were out there just catching fish. And man, when they were on all at once. I mean, we're trolling through there and all of a sudden, everybody's going, whoa. I mean, there was fish flying everywhere. I mean, I'd get one in, throw it into the thing, and I'm grabbing the D-hooker thing, and there, you say, why? Because I ain't sticking my hand in them things' mouth. They got teeth. Them saltwater fish, amen? You come back out with less parts than you put in, eh? Whew, I'm not doing that. Man, we're shaking them off, and man, there's fish coming back everywhere. We'd throw them back in the water. As soon as you get them back in, it again, it was great. Say, who caught the biggest one? I really don't know, and I really don't care. We were just out there having fun. Can I tell you something? We're not in a contest. We're out there trying to save people's eternities. Let me ask you a question. Why are you blaming the boat? Why are you blaming the net? Why are you blaming the fishing hole? Everybody doing all right? How about we look what's inside the boat? That's us. We're the problem. We're the problem. I realize some of you have health that does not allow you to get out like you used to. I'm not criticizing you. Mrs. Collin, your mama, God bless her. I'm just glad she's here. What a sweetie. And you know what? There's others that you just can't get out and do what you used to do, but you sure can help people along the way. Huh. The boat's okay. The net's fine. The fishing hole, it's active. Guess we must be the problem. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Grace Baptist Church, we have a daunting task ahead of us. There are almost 500,000 people within an hour's drive of where you sit tonight. You'll never talk to them all. We'll never reach them all, but we ought to give it everything we got. Everything we've got.